Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is Frosted Tips with me, Lance Bass. I have a wonderful co-host. Okay, it's only episode 2. This is supposed to be my husband and I's show. But if you listen to the first episode with Mr. Joshua Scott Chazet, you heard that Michael and I were stuck in Miami because of, you know, airline stupidity. And then I got to come out because I had to get back to work here. They're still stuck in Miami. A week later, still stuck in Miami. They should be taken off, I think, but it's been crazy.
But I'm actually your first husband. So yeah, well, so this is why I'm taking Michael's place.
You're my work husband.
I'm your work husband.
Yeah, you're my work husband.
This is, yes.
With none of the benefits.
None at all. Joey Fatone, by the way, if people never knew who I was or what I was saying.
I just know your voice, man.
I doubt it.
You're fucking Joey Fatone.
I doubt it. Oh, you can curse on iHeart?
I think so. You can, right? It's a podcast.
Fuck.
You got to put one of those little E's on it.
All right. Sorry, I get excited when I
think people actually listen to you more if you curse.
Because you sound like you sound like, ooh, he's like, he's so edgy.
They're so edgy now, from boy band to, like, you know.
So yeah, so how's that going though, anyway, by the way? So Michael's stuck.
Well, it sucks. Hopefully they'll get home today. They were supposed to get back Monday, but as they're going to the airport, oh my gosh, because his mom was going to help fly back with the kids, because we need a good four hands with twins. She got COVID.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Then Daddy Turchin got COVID. Then Michael got sick. Then his sister got sick. So everyone's had COVID. And now I'm thinking I might have been the super spreader.
That's your fault. Well, I've been hanging around with you. I didn't get sick.
No, because I was in Miami and I thought I had a crazy cold.
Okay.
And I'm like, uh-oh, COVID. So I told Mama Turchin, I'm like, this could be COVID. Stay away. I did my test. It was negative. I'm like, okay, maybe it's just a cold.
It's all right, right?
Michael did his test. It was negative. Sister, negative. But then 3 days later, boom, COVID all in the house. But the kids never got it. Crazy. They've been around COVID so many times and never got it.
They'll probably never get it then. They're immune.
My kids are just supermen. Supermen and women. Okay, let's get to the real fun stuff. On the show today, I am super excited. Our very second guest. Now, we're going to start a secret, not so secret, boy band society.
Okay.
Of course, I'm member number one.
See, I didn't even know that. Now that's that secret that I didn't even know.
JC Chazet is our number three. Joey, okay. You can be number four.
Okay.
And now, our number five secret society boy band member is on with us now.
Jonathan Knight, born in Massachusetts, 1968, grew up in Dorchester area of Boston with his five brothers and sisters.
Dorchester!
Dorchester?
Yeah.
Well, is that London or Boston?
That's not. What the heck? Oh,
England
God.
Or Boston?
Awful.
Shout out to fame in the late 80s with a group, of course, New Kids on the Block. From the 80s and 90s, NKOTB played around the world, sold out concerts, crazy millions and millions and millions of albums sold. Do you remember, Joey, when we were recording at Fight Wren's, one of our very first times we recorded, like in his closet,
right. with the mattress.
There was this huge New Kids on the Block album. You know what they give you? What are they called?
Those are gold. Gold albums.
Well,
yeah.
These were platinum for sure, because they were 10 million platinum. And I just remember staring at that wall, being like, "Do you think we could ever do anything like this?"
No, you're a loser.
So, big inspiration for us all, of course, Mr. Jonathan Knight. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Wow, this is amazing. Here we are, all these years later.
Yeah, right? Well, you know what's so funny? As Lance starts to talk about things, it's hilarious and not hilarious, meaning like it's amazing for me to obviously see you as a peer now, where I looked up to you back in the day when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, going, I want to be these guys. I want to be able to be on stage. And honestly, that's what I always did. And people were like, oh, you know, yeah, maybe one day. I'm like, no, I really want to do that. And it's so oddly enough that I never got a chance to see you in concert, because my parents never let me go to any concerts. Never.
Your
until
parents
I was like in high school.
Concerts?
Yeah, this is when I was in New York, back in Brooklyn, in probably 1989, 1990, I want to say. Probably 89, 80.
So many parents didn't allow their kids to go to concerts, though. But I was like, it's like, why?
Yeah, it's so crazy, yeah. Well, I think people back in the day, they're thinking of like Woodstock, like in the 70s, and people are going to be smoking around handing joints and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I think our parents thought back in the day. That's how bad it was.
Well, you know, those new kids were gyrating on stage.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that could lead to pregnancy. Well, I went to one of your shows back in the day, because it was probably 1992, 93. Y'all were playing the stadium in Jackson, Mississippi, which no one came to Jackson, Mississippi, especially playing the damn stadium. And I remember, because my sister was huge fan. She's 3 years older than me, so I thought I was the cool younger brother. Like, I'm going New Kids. And we camped out for tickets, because that's when, you know, you would camp out for tickets at the Bebop Record Shop, right?
Bebop Record
Shop.
Yeah,
it's called the Bebop Record Shop. Yeah. And, I mean, we camped out. I mean, the line was around the mall. And it was so fun, because you got to, like, meet people in line. And I think that's what would be so fun today. You know, people don't camp out for albums, releases.
No, you don't.
Or
yeah,
tickets.
You do your own. Everybody's doing their own little thing. They're in their own bubble. I bought these tickets online. You want to scalp them here? We'll sell them or do this way online. It's all transactions.
So, you know, our parents dropped us off. We sat there for hours, like camped overnight. And then, and we were not too far back in line, right? And they, you know, started selling tickets. We get up there, get the tickets. I still had almost last row nosebleed seats at the top of the stadium. I had to watch you guys with binoculars.
Oh, man.
But it was amazing.
How does it feel, Lance? How does it feel?
Oh, now I see. I understand.
You get
I understand.
It. You feel people that have seen our show now. You get it.
But let's take it back, John. So when you guys got together, what year did y'all all kind of meet and get together?
Yeah, but some people probably don't know the details about stuff. I mean, I know we have heard many times, but hearing it from you, I like to hear it. I'm excited.
Goodness, I'm like, you know, that 54-year-old man that can't remember that far back anymore.
I'm right there with you.
So I might get the years wrong, but everybody except for Joe, we actually went to elementary school together. So I actually met Donnie and Danny in the halls of elementary school. And it was, I think it was like 84 maybe that we got together. We were a product of Maury Starr, who had put together New Edition, had a falling out with them, and was kind of, we were kind of like the I'm gonna show you group. So, you know, he put us together, and we here we are, 50.
Isn't it crazy?
Were y'all in the same grade? Like, you and, wait, no, you couldn't. I guess Donnie and Danny are not the same age.
I don't remember, because I know I'm a year older than both Donnie and Danny. I think we were in the same grade, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know how there's like that weird thing
Where. Oh, yeah. You get that one thing where you're like, we hung out, but was it actually in school because we were in the same grade, or actually in school because we knew each other and we were hanging out? You know, it's like one of those things.
It is crazy how just history just changes in your mind. There's so many things where I'll tell a story over and over, and then finally 10 years later, I'm telling the story, and the person that was there was like, yeah, that's not what happened at all.
Not specifically.
Like, what? It's just so, I mean, I have no memory.
But it's always your own interpretation. So it did happen that way.
Right. Yeah.
You can't discount that it didn't happen that way. It's just, you know, that's how you perceived it. So.
Right. And you know what's interesting, too, is that, you know, you I think, like I said, you're not going to remember everything specifically, but I'm sure you remember as far as the feeling and the vibe and the way things were back then. I know it sounds even weird me even saying that, but it's weird because I know from when we were a group to when you guys were a group, there were a lot of so many different things that were completely different in the sense of obviously no social media and stuff like that. So how did it feel when you were that age, like, you know, as it started to really, you know, peak when you came out, you know, Hanging Tough and, you know, I'll Be Loving You Forever, and those songs start to come out, that you peaked and went, this is something that I've never experienced, and nobody in my, like, here's the other thing. Has anybody, celebrity-wise, or anybody around your family or anybody you knew ever went up to that status or ever done anything like that you've grew up with? You know, those are actually two questions I have.
No famous people in my house.
Right.
Not at all. Although my husband did have a little stint on Sweet Valley High that a lot of
people. Sweet Valley High. Harley. We love Harley.
Probably the most famous person besides Jordan in my house.
I'm wondering if I wonder if I know Harley longer than I've known you. Because I think I met Harley like 20 years ago.
Because I remember it was when I met him and we'd go to the movies and then you'd always be there.
Because I wanna say I might have been with y'all on your first date or when y'all actually met, because we were in Culver City seeing a play or something, and I remember you and Harley were there, Joel Schaller, and I think that might have been your first date.
I don't remember. I remember going to the movies.
Yeah,
or maybe it might have been the movies.
Okay.
Yeah. But we just got totally sidetracked. Joey, what were you saying?
Good. No, as far as like what your thought was, like your emotions obviously were completely different from what our emotions were, because again, no social media and other stuff, and you started climbing and doing these things. I mean, even as crazy as it sounds, I saw one of your performances in Steam Pipe Alley, which is on WWR TV in New York back in the day. Mario Cantone hosted it. You guys performed. I was young as hell. So I was in the audience watching the show. But I'm saying, like, to think about how you did. Yeah, it was. How do you think about, like, what it felt like just to be. And it's interesting, again, you know, how you perceive things as it was then. And now going back on tour now. And how much different it is now. Like, what exactly, what's your feelings on that? Like, what the differences is?
Well, I mean, now everything's different. I mean, social media is just, you know, changed everything. I mean, I remember as kids, we toured America and then we embarked overseas and we really had no idea what it was going to be like. We didn't, you know, we had no way to gauge how popular we were over there. And it was the way we always found out was as soon as we landed, for some reason, somebody spread the word that our plane lands at, you know, 12:05 PM on this day. And, you know, coming out of customs and immigration, and it would just be a sea of people. And that would be our first, you know, first time, like, wow, we're big in Japan. We're big in Indonesia.
Right.
We're big here. So, I mean, social media now just changes everything.
See, that was the opposite of us, because we, you know, we started out in Germany first. And, you know, immediately we were kind of overnight sensations. And, yeah, every airport, every hotel, just a sea of people.
It was weird.
And then we come back to America and it was like, cricket.
Just, we knew we were.
Nothing. And we were trying to explain to our friends and family, like, I swear.
No, there are people chasing the bus. They're chasing it. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Sure.
Another fun thing about that concert I went to, you know, as a kid, thinking back now, all the people that we would have worked with in the future, Johnny Wright, I think, was y'all stage manager at the time. I think Ibrahim Duarte was on that tour.
Did something out there, yeah.
Bodyguards, like so many people that were all on your tour, you know, six years later would be on our team. So, I mean, it was just like, that's a pinch me moment. Like, holy shit. Like if that little kid knew.
Well, you got to think about it. Well, the same thing I think would happen with Johnny Wright, because Johnny Wright was more of an announcer. He was kind of like was he a tour manager? What was he to you guys exactly?
I mean, the thing I remember is was him driving a Winnebago.
There you go.
He first got started, and he would drive us to the shows. And he was definitely our tour manager back, you know, when we were just
starting, right?
Wow, and speak of Johnny Wright, I mean, what a career he's made of himself. Like that's,
you know, it's so funny because I remember him even announcing you guys majority of the time. That's what he would do too on the tours, on your concerts. He would announce before they would come out and stuff.
Oh yeah, oh he loves because he was a radio DJ,
yeah.
And yeah. and a roller skater. Yeah.
He was a DJ roller skater as well. He did that as well.
It's funny. I'm actually going to see Johnny on Wednesday because we're doing a big kind of benefit concert for Aaron Carter over at Heart. Mm-hmm. And so Johnny's going to come and do his speech. He wants to get on stage and do his
little. Wow.
But it'll be nice
he's
to see
him. Yeah, he's been around. Yeah, he's been around.
Dukes, like everyone's coming back.
That's awesome.
It's going to be really fun.
Awesome.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, so let's get into when y'all took the hiatus. It was at what 1994, I think, is when y'all kind of took a break.
I remember that date. Yeah. That's the one date I remember.
So, tell us why.
Wait, were you happy or were you sad about it? Yeah.
Yeah, bring us back to that moment where you decided, like, okay, let's take a break.
Well, you know, 94, maybe it was 95, but it was definitely, I remember that all way too clearly. you know, well, pop music was just not what it used to be. And, you know, we went from arenas down to theaters. And then eventually I left the New Kids and they continued on and they were doing nightclubs. And it just kept, you know, going down and down and down. But I had jumped out early. You know, there was a few reasons. Number one, being a young gay kid, I was just like frustrated, want to get out, live my own life. You know, and the other reason, it just felt like it was not going anywhere. And I wanted to be home from not being around home for since I was a little kid. So 94, 95 was just like, it was crazy. I remember waking up in my house, you know, this big 12,000 square foot, 8-bedroom house that should have never bought in the first place. It was just a stupid decision. That,
we all know, do it.
Yeah, we've all been there.
I can relate.
We've all been there. Yeah. So 94, just waking up and looking up and down the halls like, oh, shit, like, it's done. And I think I was like 24 and just really confused at, you know, being such a young man, like what is the rest of my life going to be like? Like, how am I going to sustain what I have? And it was just weird. It just felt like it was a scary moment of just not knowing what the future would be.
It's crazy you say that because not many people can relate, but shit, do I relate to that? So it's too close, too scary, too close. You know what I mean?
We all kind of have that same story. And especially, you know, also young gay kid. You just want to feel that normalcy like your friends do. You know, it's like, God, because when we were, I mean, we started in 1995, and I mean, the house that I lived in Orlando, I probably slept in that bed maybe 20 times in the 8 years I lived in Orlando. And I'm like, God, what would it be like just to have
a place,
feel like you're home, like at a home? So, I mean, and I craved that when we took our hiatus, that's in quotes for people not seeing us. I was so excited to be like, I am not. I mean, I did the Russia thing, but then when I came back, I just wanted to feel normal. Yeah. And I started meeting friends for the first time and, you know, and like becoming an adult. And that's of course when I started finding myself also as a gay guy. I'm like, okay, I can't hide this anymore. I mean, like most of us, I'm sure you knew you were gay at a young age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was that, 'cause in my case, no one ever came to me and said, hey, Lance, look, we know you're gay. You got to hide it. You got
to
do that. No,
wait a minute. I didn't do that to you? Because when we made out, I knew that I wasn't gay.
No, we're just.
When that happened, I finally realized. I went, you know what? I thought about it. I'm like, I'll dabble a little bit. It just didn't work out, did it?
Not with me, that's for sure. That is for sure.
I'm not his type.
I thought you said
I'm not gonna. You know what, Lance, though? This moment you guys are having right here is just amazing. Like, can you imagine when we were at the height of our careers that we could lean on our band,
right?
And have this, like, it would have made our lives so much better.
It keeps you sane most of the times. It keeps your head from going crazy, because I had four of my best friends that if you said anything crazy, they'd be like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, but yeah, having that support system, and our families were really great too. Really helped us from going, I think, nuts. And I look at, you know, artists like Britney Spears and Michael Jackson, where it's hard to be the solo person where everyone's like, yes, 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 everything's yes, yes.
It's nice to lean on, man.
I was very lucky to be in a group.
I mean, I knew, but I just kept my mouth shut.
Did you?
I don't know if it was the stadium tour. It might have been one of the last tours we were on.
Yeah.
When we were at your house that one time, and I found
out. No, that was after. That was after we were done.
You sure?
Yeah, when you walked in on me.
Well, I kind of knew. Let's be real here. There was one time somebody was telling me, hey, I need to go back to the hotel. Why? Well, Lance wanted me to come by. I'm like, bullshit.
And by the way, that ain't true. Trust me.
That's true. No, it's bullshit. It was at a club, and then he needed money to get back. There was no Uber. He needed a cab. I'm not saying who it was, but I'm saying he needed a cab to get back, and you were sly because you left. And I was like, wait a minute, what? And this is when kind of people knew. And this is when actually we were on stadium tour. Yes, it is true.
Yeah, but I never hooked up with anyone on the tour.
He was going over to your room.
But I can tell you right now, never hooked up with anyone on tour. So I don't know who is telling you that. Because there was a lot of, especially dancers, like our opening act dancers.
Yep.
The amount of times that they were like, oh, yeah, Lance and I totally made out at a club. I'm like, no, we didn't. Like, I probably wanted to, but no, I was never, never going to do that at all.
Well, I mean, it's at that moment, you're so afraid. Like, what if somebody sees? What if this?
It must kill you. Seriously, it must kill you guys.
Well, it does, because I think that's why I really turned to drinking, like, big time. I mean, when I was a teenager up until, like, the end of NSYNC, I was borderline alcoholic because every time we go out, and we went out a lot. I don't know how we did it. We would go out every night.
We were young.
It was nuts. But I would get so wasted just so that I wouldn't have to go home with someone, that I'd always have an excuse, be like, oh, I'm too drunk. Oh, I'm too drunk. So, yeah, I mean, I was definitely borderline alcoholic. Yeah, it was bad. Maybe still am. I don't know. I don't know what the excuse is. Oh my God!
Did you find it? But I was gonna say, did you find it really hard? Obviously, if you found it really hard.
Well,
I want to know
who you hooked up with on the road. If I did, did you?
You don't kiss and tell.
No, not really. I mean, my manager knew I was gay, and he would always conveniently have another kid that was gay around. So, you know, a few I hooked up with, a few was just like, you know, no, not my type, get away from me.
Yeah.
That's good. He's at least looking out for you, you know?
But did they also tell you you can't say anything? Like, did they ever have that conversation with you, like CBS and all that?
CBS never did. My manager actually did. He pulled me aside and he was like, if anybody finds out, then your career's over. The new kid's career's over. My manager said, my career's over. Sony's gonna like lose money. It was just so much pressure. And it's, you know, looking back, it's just, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody who is just trying to figure out the world themselves. And
you're still a kid. Yeah, you're still a kid.
Well, and I assume, because you deal with a lot of anxiety, like a lot of us do, but you've been very open about your battles with anxiety. Do you think, did you have anxiety before New Kids, or do you think that hiding who you really were just really made that a huge issue?
No, I mean, I definitely had it before. I think it was a different type of anxiety. You know, because when New Kids, when we were going along, like I loved being on stage. I loved being in front of crowds. I loved doing, you know, TV shows and stuff like that. And then I think just as it went along, it just, the stress built up and built up and built up. I mean, you know, I look at that Oprah Winfrey interview I did years ago, and I'm like, that was not anxiety. That was a full-on nervous breakdown. Like, it was just, everything built up, and it was just like, it was crazy. But, no, I mean, nowadays, anxiety is... It's great. You know, I love that we're back together with the New Kids. Would have never thought that we'd get back together. You know, and just even that whole process of us getting back together and, you know, talking to the guys and for them to say like, yeah, we knew you were gay and it's okay. And, you know, we can work on this. I mean, because even when we got back together, I still wasn't out publicly.
Right.
Right.
I was out to them, but not out.
I don't think you ever really were. It just slowly just became a, okay.
Well, wasn't it?
I don't know. That's the way I felt about it.
Wasn't it Tiffany, though, that totally outed you for the first time on Watch What Happens?
No.
No? Okay.
Not true. Not true. It was a boyfriend of mine that sold pictures of us to the National Enquirer.
Oh. I know somebody ratted somebody else out.
Who?
Well, you came out, though, because of him.
Well, yeah. I mean, when they saw us together, like still, a big, huge gay activist, yeah, you kind of... You can assume. Yeah.
You dated Riken. That's right.
Yeah, that's who I was dating when I came out.
Ah. I was there.
Good times.
When that
good
all
times.
Happened.
It's funny that, you know, the whole coming out thing, because I was like, I didn't want to. You know, I was just living my life. I'm like,
yeah.
Everybody doesn't have to, you know, my brothers and sisters didn't say, hey, mom and dad, we're straight.
Right,
you know,
you didn't have to announce it.
It wasn't something I was hiding. I mean, I was
living your life
with Harley. Like Harley was, you know, we'd be kissing in public and, you know, it was what it was. You know, and then it was like, no, you have to make a statement. You have to, you know, you have to publicly just clear the air. And, you know, that whole process was horrible, because I looked at what you did, Lance, and I actually think in my coming out thing, statement, I was like, I didn't know I had to be on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah.
Because you were on the cover of the magazine. And I'm just like, you know, this is it's even the way people come out nowadays has changed. You know, yeah. People will be doing an award show and just be like, I'd like to thank my husband, blah, yeah. blah, blah. And nobody flinches. Everybody's
and it's
like,
so
oh,
great. It's so great that we've gotten to that point. You know, with the same path where when I was, you know, dating Riken, and I was we'd been together for 2 years. I'd already had two boyfriends before that. So I was very comfortable. I mean, Joey knew, the guys knew, my friends knew, my family knew. And I thought, like, obviously no one cares, because no one's ever – I mean, so I was just living my life.
Okay.
That's when I went to P-Town, and
you went to
I didn't know that it was such a very gay-friendly town.
Talking about – you don't know about P-Town? I even know about P-Town.
I was a newbie gay.
It doesn't matter. I'm not gay. And I know about P-Town.
So I was like – yeah, I was in line to the bathroom, and I just happened to be talking to a reporter, and he's like, are you gay? I'm like, yeah. It was the first time I ever, like, said that to a stranger. And I was so calm, like, no one cares. And then, of course, they cared. And I thought it was ridiculous that they would put me on the cover of People magazine. Because even my niece and nephew at the time, they were real little. And this is what made me so happy. I remember that magazine came out, and they just looked at my sister and was like, why is this news? Like, what is this?
Yeah, right.
And it made me so happy to know that, like, wow, that generation just doesn't care. Like, it's just people to them. And I think that might have been the last time someone was on a cover for coming out, for God's sake. Thank God.
I know.
Come a long way.
It used to be like gender reveals. Now, you know, it's a lot. It's accepted. It's okay, people. We love no matter what. Love is love.
Love is love. I mean, we still got to keep teaching that story, though, because there's
people just
still a lot of hatred out.
But I just don't get it. Mind your business. Let's be real. Mind you, they ain't doing nothing wrong. Nobody's doing anything wrong with you. Mind your business. If there's something that you're not doing that it's not harming anybody else, get the fuck out of here.
It should be that easy.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
But it's not. There's just a lot of, you know.
We're getting there, though.
Yeah,
of course. Speaking of the gay community, you and I have discussed before how great it is that our community is really embracing the parenting thing right now, because a lot of us of a certain age kind of grew up thinking we could never have a family. We're not supposed to have a family. You're told that. And then the last, I'd say, 5, 6, 7 years, so many couples not only are just getting married, because we're allowed to get married now, but now we're able to have our own babies. We're able to adopt in most places now. And I just think for me, growing up in that family unit, it gives me that little normalcy that I always was craving for. But I also love that the community is doing it their own way. All my friends that are having kids right now, I love how they're parenting, because they have their kids be exposed to everything. Because growing up in a small town, I didn't know what was going on in the world. Right. I didn't know what was going on outside my little town.
So much more access to it now, too.
Yeah. And so I want my kids to be exposed to every religion, every race, every stupid person, every smart person. Like, I need that to happen. And I think, you know, being in this community, you want that for your kids, because I learned so much just by being gay. I know I became way more open-minded just because of, you know, of being gay. So do you think you and Harley will ever go down that road?
You know, I want to congratulate you and Michael for having kids. And it's funny that, you know, I would say 95% of our gay friends now have kids. You know, and it's funny, because when Ricky Martin first had his twins, and I was like, you know, he wasn't out, but there was rumors that he was gay. And I was like, wait a minute, if he's gay, how is he having these kids? You know, and then it was just talking to all our gay friends about, yeah, well, you can go to an agency and you can get a surrogate and you can have eggs donated and all that stuff. And, you know, it was like, okay, this all makes sense. It was a bit weird in the early years. It was kind of like, you know, this is like so scientifically, I wouldn't say not right, but not.
You kind of feel like you're playing God a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. You know, now you're going to get me going. You know, we tried it. And, you know, we went through the journey for about 5 years, and it just didn't happen for us. And, you know, going through the process, and it's like, you know, today's the day the eggs are being implanted, and you're so excited, you're so happy. And then, you know, a week later, it's like, nope, you're back to square one. And meanwhile, you know, you're having twins, and, you know, our other friends are having kids.
It's a yeah.
No one understands that emotional journey, because, you know, it took us almost 5 years to have our kids. And I don't know how many times y'all were able to get pregnant, but we were pregnant, you know, a few years ago with twins, and lost one at 3 weeks, one at 6 weeks. We were on our, I mean, we went through 10 different donors. We weren't pregnant 10 times, but, you know, wow. when you pick a donor, the emotions that go through that, you know, you're looking at.
You're having the baby. And let's be like, real.
Do I see like kids in their face? Like, you're like already planning their future with this donor. So every time one would not work, it's just like, it's so depressing. It's like God, I got to start over again. And if this didn't happen this last time, I don't think we would have gone for it again. That was the universe saying, you know what? You're not supposed to have kids, is what I kept like telling myself.
I'm gay or straight. I could say that about you, Lance. I don't know if you should have kids.
But, you know, you're meant to have what you're meant to have.
Just the process. It's like me and Harley will always say, thank God we didn't meet during the dating apps. Like, they weren't around when we started.
Yeah.
You know, swipe left or swipe right. You're looking at, you know, these women's profiles, and it says their age, their nationality, their medical history. You've never met them, and you just, you know, could this be the mother of my child?
That's weird.
Like, it's really weird. But at the same time, it's such a blessing that, you know, we're at that point where we have this incredible, you know, incredible resources, this incredible medical, I don't know what to call it.
Technology,
it's
medical wonder.
You know, I hope in our lifetime, because, you know, IVF, mainly, you know, straight people use IVF more than gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope in our lifetime that that process will be so affordable for everyone. Because when you go through IVF and all that, to be able to weed out so many diseases that, you know, your kid could possibly have, and all the just different genetic matches that you might have with someone else, it's just amazing that you can have the healthiest kid possible. And I wish that everyone could be able to experience that and be able to have that. And I hope that does become affordable and covered by our insurance for everyone.
Yeah. No, and that's the part of it that I always felt like you were playing God. I mean, it's like every embryo, everything is genetically tested, and then they're like, well, this embryo has a predisposition for this, and this embryo is this. Like, do you want it? And then that also felt weird too. I mean, if we were a straight couple, we would just fucking get pregnant.
Right.
So much easier.
It's a little more of a process.
A little cheaper.
But then the bills are all the same when the baby comes, no matter what.
I mean, true.
Hey, LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round al fresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right. So, John, what is next for New Kids? Now, when y'all got back together, was this all Donnie? I feel like Donnie's now like the manager of the group. Is that the scenario?
You know, he's definitely the most outgoing of all of us. He's the one that loves to dig in. You know, he's a workaholic for sure. He loves working. I mean, he's definitely the one that is continually pushing this thing forward.
I mean, was he the one that kind of really said, "Hey guys, let's maybe this is something that we can do, get back together, figure this out"? Because again, we haven't done it. Who knows if we're ever going to do it again? So it's interesting
to hear.
Maybe
Donnie can talk to our guys.
Yeah, no, Donnie, trust me. Donnie has even called me many times. I was actually in New York, out of nowhere, he calls me. I didn't even know he knew I was in New York. He goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Nothing." He goes, "Come over to the set." He was shooting Blue Bloods. I walk over. He goes over to hell. By the way, so what do you think about NSYNC getting back together and doing this? Like, he wants to get like us New Kids, Backstreet, get everybody together,
like,
and do
the
this
epic boy band tour.
I mean, I think maybe one day it would have to happen. I would say never say never, but we haven't even done anything yet, so who knows if that's ever going to even happen either. So, but yeah, he's always trying to figure it out.
I would love to see you guys get back together, and it's like, you know,
me too.
Yeah, we got to get you guys back together.
I mean, it would definitely be fun. It's weird, though, because when y'all started, I mean, there was no such thing as a boy band when y'all, you know, got together.
Sense, yeah, the name.
I mean, boy band didn't come to America till like 1998. I mean, even...
Well,
after,
I mean, New Edition, they were boy bands.
No,
but
they were not
the,
called a boy band.
Right, correct.
Like, it was a German phrase. Right. So really no one had anyone to compare you guys to. I mean, maybe the Beatles, but there was no such thing as like this boy band, which I think was a derogatory term just to make us feel less than, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So when these boy bands exploded with 98 Degrees and Backstreet and us and freaking Hanson, you know, and, you know, right on the tail of you guys, what did you think about this boy band explosion? Were y'all like pissed or like, wait a minute, this is our shit?
You know, well, like I said, the you know, pop music just disappeared for a little while.
Thank you, Seattle.
You know, I was down, what'd you say?
Thank you, Seattle.
I said, thanks,
grunge.
Seattle.
Oh, I know, Seattle.
And MC Hammer.
You know, but I went down to Florida and I saw what, you know, Lou was up to and all this stuff coming down the lines, and, you know, knew about you guys over in Germany and stuff. So, you know, I was a little jealous. I was a little like, you know, who are these guys put on my feet?
Right.
You know, but it's great, you know, and I am so glad that, you know, that the boy band tradition has been passed down to you guys and passed down to other groups as we go along. And history. And
I think as we get older, though, too, the funny part was, is, you know, it's all those in the early stages, it felt like a rivalry. We always say that. But as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, there's actually plenty of room for all of us to be out here. And if we do stuff together, we're even stronger in numbers if we did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the cool thing about nowadays. Back in the day, it was kind of like, ah, you know, they used to push us aside with Backstreet. You know, don't talk to them, even though we're by the same management team, which was so weird.
Yeah, it was very strange. But, you know, it's fun, I guess, for fans to, you know, it's like your sport team, right?
Well, the Backstreet, Yankees versus Mets. They're still not as good as us. I mean, we know that. But that's just,
oh shit!
That's just a fact.
You know, I've never talked to you about Lou Pearlman. I didn't know that you actually knew him because the big story, you know, I did that documentary and I wish I would have gotten you in it.
I love that documentary. So
thanks. I mean, I learned a lot for sure, and you know, the big story. And I'm doing a Hulu show right now, and it's the scripted version of that documentary. So we're going to get to really know Lou Pearlman from, you know, birth to death. But it, a lot of the very first episode, you guys are in it a lot because the story is that he, the whole reason he wanted to get into this pop music, and again, there was no such thing as a boy band, but a pop music group, was because he saw you guys or heard about you guys, and they are a $1 billion business. And he like flew y'all on one of his private planes.
No, he saw it getting on a private plane. How are these guys affording and paying for this private plane? That's what we heard. This is a story that I heard.
See, he told me that y'all flew on one of his planes, and that's he was like,
"Yeah, well,
how can they afford to fly on this private plane?" They're like, "Yeah, it's a $1 billion business, Lou." And he's like, "Shit, okay, I'm in."
Yeah, and I don't ever think that we rented one of Lou Pearlman's planes.
He didn't have a plane.
He never had one.
He never had a plane.
It was Sony's plane. And you know, it's funny that in 1994, he was like, you know, New Kids is over. Do you want to come down to Florida and consult? This was before I really knew who he was. So he's like, yeah, I'll send my private jet for you. You know, we'll get you down to Florida. Perfect. Let's see how this works out. A Delta Airlines ticket, first class, comes in the mail. And I'm like, Lou, like what? Your plane? He was like, no, I own that Delta Airlines plane.
God.
I leased it to Delta. So that was my first, like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Right.
Got to Florida, stayed in his house for, you know, a week. Really loved it. Guy, he's charming, but there was just some weird things about him that I was like, this is not right. The man would come into my bedroom in the morning, sit at the edge of my bed. I'm in underwear, you know, probably 20, 25, 26, you know, still had my, you know, 20-year-old body. It's just weird. Like, he was like waiting for me to crawl out of bed and like walk across the room, and I was like, something's just not right here.
Yeah.
And as time went by, I just was like, this guy is not looking
something's
good.
Off. Yeah.
And I just like left Orlando. I was like, done with it.
I love it. Was that the house in Islesworth that he lived in?
Yes.
Because I lived in that house too. I wonder, which bedroom did you have? I think we shared the same bedroom.
I don't know.
Yeah. Never stayed there.
You would hear stories about, like, don't go in the hot tub.
Yeah, don't go in the tanning room. Don't go in the tanning room.
Don't go in the shower. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, this is creepy. Like, that everybody was talking about it right from day one. I was just like, see ya.
Is it weird to know that there's naked videos of you floating around somewhere, John Knight?
There probably is.
God bless. God bless, John.
Yeah. Oh, the shit we had to go through. Yeah. So what's up next, John? I know your show, HGTV, so great. Okay, so when you left New Kids in the 90s, you went straight to real estate, which was brilliant.
Yes.
Why did you want to get in that? Something you always wanted to do?
Since I was a kid, my mother, she's like so into architecture. We'd drive around neighborhoods and we just look at houses and just, you know, be like, oh, I love that. I love that house. My dad was a contractor, so it kind of was in me. And I think if New Kids didn't happen, I would have been a carpenter or an architect. So, you know, New Kids kind of took me away. And when it ended, I was able to come back to that. It was a real challenge for me. I remember talking to my brother, Jordan, And I'm like, dude, like, we're making millions of dollars a year. Like, how am I going to continue this? And he said, stop thinking like that. He goes, go out and make $50,000 a year. And then the next year, make $100,000 a year. So that really helped me to say, like, okay, I can get into this business and, you know, just try to make something of it. So there was a Boston policeman that did detail at the end of my driveway. And one day we became friends. And one day he called me up and he goes, hey, you want to flip houses with me? And I'm like, flip houses? Like, never heard the term. You know, I thought it was some corrupt thing, like we were going to put them on vacation, steal all their stuff and sell it on the black market. But he just, you know, showed me the ropes and showed me that you could, you know, flip houses, and it became a thing. And we did that for years and years and years and years and years. And it's just in my blood now.
How many houses would you say y'all flipped so far?
Oh man, you know, it's too many to count. I think the last time I counted was close to 200.
Damn.
What's the biggest one? And I'm not talking about money wise. It could be, you know, as far as square footage houses. Are you doing big houses, or are you flipping, you know, fairly decent size?
No. I mean, I guess the biggest house I flipped was the first house I bought. Done with that. But no, we just did a lot of houses in the neighborhood we grew up in Boston. And, you know, it's so rewarding when neighbors would walk by and they would thank you for helping improve the neighborhood. And like, that was the worst house on the block, and now it's beautiful. So, it's been great. And then to be able to take my passion for houses and to parlay that into a hit TV show on HGTV has just been, you know, I still pinch myself every day. I'm like 54 now, doing what I'm doing now.
And it's great because, you know, you live on a farm. What made you want to live just out in the country?
Well, it's funny because I went to visit my childhood home in Boston the other day to meet with the new homeowners. We had 3/4 acre of land. We had a carriage house out back, which, you know, back in the days, they'd hook up the horses to the carriage and go to the store and all that stuff. But in the, you know, in the 70s, my parents bought that house, and we, for some reason, I don't know if it was my parents or, I mean, most kids ask for a puppy. I think we would ask for, like, can we get some goats or some chickens or, you know, a pony? We had pigs. We had a sheep. Like, we just had everything at this house. And I just remember loving that farm life. And, you know, it was farm life, but we were in the most urban setting ever. So when I first was financially independent from my parents, I was like, see ya, I'm leaving the city. I moved to the town I'm in now, bought 20 acres and just in love with farm animals and barns and growing food and all that stuff.
So, I mean, that is, you've inspired me a lot. Like, since you've been living there, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do what John did. Like, I want to live, I need goats, I need horses, a donkey, a couple pigs. Like, that would make me so happy. And now we're, in the next 2-3 years, we're probably going to base ourselves, you know, somewhere around Nashville, and get that farm. And I want my kids to be able to wake up in the morning and help feed animals and, you know, have some good responsibility. It just would make me so happy. So when I do that, you're going to have to help me fix my farm.
Oh, I'm there. Wait, this could be a TV show.
You better believe it. No, I'll definitely do an episode with you because I need all the help I can get because I've
Because you'll be a Beverly Hillbilly, basically. Just the opposite way. You go from Beverly's to being a Hillbilly. So you go the opposite way.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the country. Lance will need a lot of help. Lance will need a lot of help for that.
As I get older, I just want peace, you know? I just want relaxation.
That's it. It is. It's the peace. I mean, everybody's always like, why don't you have gray hair? I'm like, there's a few in there, but I mean, They're being withheld because every morning I can just walk out
and
just
breathe.
You know, just
breathe Zen.
Such an amazing feeling.
Well, that's great. Okay, so what's next for Jonathan Knight? Do y'all have new kid stuff planned next? You're going to be shooting your new season. I don't know.
Well, what else? Are you guys still doing the cruises as well? Are you guys still doing those every year or no?
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. If NSYNC got back together, you guys could do a cruise. It's
right.
So that would be fun. We're probably, I think our, I lost count. This might be our 13th.
I don't understand how that many people fit on the freaking boat, because I've seen pictures.
No, I watch Rock
and
the Boat.
It is unreal. Like, it is unreal. It's awesome what you guys have done. You know, I mean, I'm sure, again, like you said, Donnie's a workaholic, so he's always trying to find angles and ways. I'm sure you all are. But it's interesting to see his hustle and what he does. And how he maneuvers, because I've seen a lot of things in a lot of deals that he's done, how he maneuvers with stuff, which is, again, he's nonstop. It's not a joke.
Well, when y'all do these cruises, how do you, like, you can't walk around, so what do?
You have security, you navigate.
Yeah, you can. It's you know what? It's such a difference, our fans from the 90s compared to now. I mean,
it's not so much fanatic-y.
It's not this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they want this.
Right.
So you can walk through the ship and have conversations with people, and it's pretty amazing.
It's fun. Yeah, I've done the Impractical Jokers. They have a cruise that they do, and I've done it for like the 4 years in a row that they've done it now, and it's just kind of like that, though. It's just so awesome because they do walk around freely. You can go and hang, and it's not, they're not like on top of you, kind of. It's interesting. It's a cool vibe. It's a really cool vibe. Just even have like that, like any of those themed cruises that people are doing now, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool.
It's fun.
It gives them an opportunity. Yeah. You see the people coming time and time again, though. It's amazing, right? The same fans. Yeah, you see the same people. We know you, L, freaking L, who got engaged at your concert. I mean, I know her. Yeah, we all know her.
All right. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, the show is called Frosted Tips. So I'm going to need some tips from you that fans have written in. And I think you're going to give some great advice. So we'll be right back.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at world-famous studio tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we are back with Frosted Tips. I got Joey Fatone, my work husband. Michael is in the air right now.
Yes.
That's a good news. That's good news.
It's good news.
I'm actually going to see my kids. I hope
I'm
they
on
remember
the floor. He's in the air.
Who I am at this point.
Right.
All right, John. So Frosted Tips is the name of the show. We finally, the first episode with JC, we didn't have any questions because no one knew we were coming out with a show. But now we have hundreds of questions that we've been going through. You guys out there have really delivered. And thank y'all so much for listening because that first one was really good. Y'all made us number one in music category.
Did you just say that?
What? God. Don't you love when you like brag about things like that? And I think, what, number 24 of any podcast in the country? 23 in the country.
Oh, excuse
me. That's right.
So, oh, my goodness.
We're not going to be happy till we get number one, but thanks for all your love out there. So, here we go.
Well, you better stop bragging about how well you're doing. I might have to charge you for being here.
I mean, no, this is charity. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not getting paid for this shit.
So here we go. Here's some they've asked for some tips from Jonathan Knight here. So for people who are dealing with anxiety and afraid to step away from work like you had to do, what kind of advice do you have for them?
Yeah. Well, I've learned in my older years, and when I say older years, probably just like the last 8 years, to just hit anxiety face first. I mean, there's a lot of times where it's easier to say no, and I say yes. I mean, a couple weeks ago, hey, you want to do Lance's podcast? And I'm like, oh my God, like podcast, what are we going to talk about? How's it going to go? I don't know. And then you just get all this anxiety. And I was just like, didn't let that get to that point and was like, yes, I will do Lance's podcast and get to Joey at the same time.
Yeah, and I've learned too that, and we were just talking about this, like Joey and I are just like, yes, man, yes, yes, yeah, you know, yes, my yes, friend, yes. Sure. The last few years, I've learned the power of no, and it brings my anxiety down so much now to say no. I'm not saying you should have said no to this, but...
Well, it's just less stuff on your shoulders. Yeah. You don't feel like everybody, because you want to please everybody. That's right. The thing. We're all kind of pleasers, and that's the hardest
part.
But
you got
to
take
that.
Care of yourself.
You're talking about two different things. You could be a yes man that, well, I think when you say yes to everything, yeah, it is a form of anxiety because you don't want to let people down. So it's two different
I know what you're saying. Yeah, yours is more extreme. Ours is more of a little for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. All right, here's your question. If someone wanted to join a boy band tomorrow, what are some tips that you would give them you wish someone told you?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't do it.
I guess don't take everything so serious. Like, you know, just have fun with it. I think as young – well, I guess it depends. If you're a 50-year-old boy bander, you're going to have a whole different outlook.
Right.
I just think as kids, I think – you know, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And you just take everything so seriously. And, you know, I remember as a kid, like, oh, you know, I'm the best thing on the world, on the planet. Like, no, you're not. You're just some little punk ass kid. Like,
right. So, I will say actually, Jordan gave me advice one time. I was at one. I can't remember what Super Bowl I ran into him at. And your brother even said, we were talking about certain things. He's like, hey, you just know your power. Just know, yeah. Like, when you're in the position that you're in, know your power where it's okay to say no, that kind of stuff. And I remember him saying that, and I don't know, it's so funny that we're happy to be doing this interview with you, but it's funny that your brother said that to me that one time. I'll never forget that. Weird. I think stick like
and
that.
And I think a lot of advice I give younger artists now is definitely have a backup plan. I mean, the odds of us being as successful as we were, you know, amazing. I mean, it's not... We are so lucky. It's not every day. You think of all the artists that are out there that, you know, what percentage make it? So definitely always have a backup.
Yeah, agreed. I say that to everyone. I'm like, yes, go for your dreams. If you want to be an actor, yeah, whatever, yeah. It is almost impossible, you know, to become that. So always have something of interest that you can fall back on, you know, and always, you know, go for that side hustle too, because that could be your main hustle. All right, here's your last tip. As host of Farmhouse Fixer, besides open kitchen plans, what is one home design tip you think everyone should know?
One home design tip? Oh my God. I don't know. There's so many. It's like,
what's the one that sticks in your head over and over again though? What's the one that would probably
client? I think the number one design tip I say is stay away from fads. And, you know, everything is a fad. Like, I mean, I'm installing kitchens now that in 10 years, people are going to be like, oh my goodness, that's such a 2020 kitchen. You know, so I like to try to keep things just simple, classic, and timeless.
What style is forever classic? Like, what's your go-to?
Oh, man, that's, come on.
It's really the hard-hitting questions that I give.
You know, I just think natural materials. I think, you know, I think like a Carrara marble is never going to go out of style. But then you could have like this weird Carrara marble tile that's like cut a certain way and like this basket weave like I have, which I hate right now in my kitchen. You know, just simple, clean, not... I think you have to look back at history and just see like the houses from that era and bring that forward.
Yeah, one thing that, because, you know, because of COVID, we've actually fallen in love with our house. So now we're like, let's redesign it. So, you know, 3 years later and we're still room by room. I'm going tile crazy and I'm going wallpaper crazy. And I have a feeling that the wallpaper is going to kind of get outdated at some point, which is fine because you can always replace it.
That's a good tip that you're giving yourself right there. Wallpaper, things like wallpaper, paint, furniture, carpets, like wallpaper all your walls. If it goes out of style,
and
you strip the wallpaper and you put up something new. And it costs the cost of wallpaper. Same thing with paint. Like I always tell people, that is the easiest way to transform a room. Throw some paint up. If you like it a couple years later, you don't like it, you know, $50 for another gallon of paint.
You know what really kind of changed the look of our house? Because, you know, we live in a pretty smaller house. And, you know, you feel a little trapped sometimes, especially now with two kids running around.
Oh, his house is so small, two kids trapped in your house.
Yeah, it is. But what we did in our bedroom and in the main living room, we took one wall and we did this kind of rose gold mirror. So it's the whole wall. It opened up everything and it just looks cool because it's not like mirror. It's
right. What's the room that I sleep in? Is it the wallpaper with the tigers on it?
That's the wallpaper with the Is that tigers?
I don't know. It's like the pink tiger. Yes. Yeah.
I told you we went wallpaper crazy. I mean, by the time we got done with all the wallpaper, I looked around. I'm like, holy shit! Every room has wallpaper. What the hell did we do?
What year was your house built? Like 70s?
It was definitely built in the 70s. And then when I bought it 10 years ago, it was a total knockdown. So we went down to the studs, but we reshaped and redid everything. But yeah, it definitely had the 70s plumbing.
Cali's got some old houses here.
Yeah. But we've fallen in love with it. I'm hoping if we do get to Nashville and get on my farm that I'll still be able to keep this here because it's a special place for sure. Yeah. And it's manageable. All right. My last thing I want to do with you, Jonathan, we love to, bring back an old teen magazine question and answer. And I want to see if your answers still match 30 years later. Okay, so this is from a teen magazine from the mid-1980s, okay? What is your favorite school subject?
English.
Wrong. Science and art.
Oh, God. Science.
Sorry.
Perfect way to spend a date.
Oh, my goodness. Pizza and movies.
Nope. Doing anything as long as you're with the one you love.
Oh, very that's sweet. So sweet.
Yeah. Doing anything as long as not sex with women.
Right. That's my job. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Give me two or three words to describe yourself. Now, remember, this is mid-80s, Jonathan Knight.
Mid-80s. Shy would be one. Charming. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's not on here. Isn't it funny that the gay ones are always the shy one? Like, yeah, because we were too afraid to speak. Like, we don't want people to figure it out.
Well, the reason why is because when you came out, you never got back in. You just was out. You were just out.
Well, I mean, when you're pushed out like that, you got a lot of years to catch up on. I'm still catching up on the years.
Caring, sensitive, and hardworking.
Caring, sensitive, hardworking. Oh my God, this is the best. What was your first ambition?
You must have been a wise ass at this time when you answered
I have no clue.
You'll never get it. It's to walk.
To walk.
That's good.
That's definitely an answer after you're in the offices of magazines, and you're just like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, you start writing stuff down just to see if they post it. They do.
JC's quiz last week, there was a couple. He's like, I never filled that out. There's no way I said that. It was like, what's your favorite thing to read? Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I like Shakespeare.
Favorite vacation spot.
Oh, yeah. See if this is still the same.
There you go.
Yeah, Hawaii. Is your favorite food what now?
Lasagna.
Italian. Okay, and here's your last one. What was your favorite car in the 80s?
Favorite car in the 80s? Oh, my God.
Hint, it was black.
My favorite car was just black.
No. No. It's
we're giving you a
black,
hint.
But we're just, you know.
Oh, so it had to have been the first car I bought, my 3000 GT, whatever, Mitsubishi. Maybe
it was a black BMW 735.
Yeah.
And before we let you go, I have to go to a couple of fan questions because y'all really did outdo yourselves with a lot of these questions. So I'm going to get to a few here. What's your favorite and least favorite song to perform live? Mine is Here We Go. I think everyone knows that. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, all of them.
They're the best and the worst.
You know, I will listen to, like, or I'll be in our car in, like, the 80s on 8 or the 90s, come on, and I'll listen to our songs and I'll just be, like, cringing, like, oh, my God, these are, like, the cheesiest songs. But I think most artists do that. You know, I love performing new songs on stage. It's so much fun. I mean, of course, I love our old songs, too, but it's just
it's always refreshing. It's something new.
Yeah.
It always feels weird, like hanging tough, like it's loud. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, Boys in the Band is a bop, not because I'm in the music video, but it is a bop. All right. It's good. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
I have a book in the can. It never had a proper ending, I was told. And then I keep going back to it. And the sad thing is I'm such a perfectionist. It's like I'm all or nothing. So I'll go back and I'll read my book and I'll be like, this really sucks. It's not good. When everybody's like, this is great. Just put it out there. You know, and I think, you know how you said we're the quiet ones. I think in this book, I was really able to speak out. And I think there's things in there that would probably give my mother a heart attack. So
it's very tricky.
I'm still like, I don't know if I want to publish that. So.
Yeah, it's tricky. When I wrote mine, I was definitely not in the right space to write it because I had just come out and I didn't know my world at all. But I just wanted to get something, especially my coming out story. I just wanted to get on paper just so, like we said before, my memory just goes. I don't remember things quite the same way. So it's been 15 years since I wrote that book. And there's some things like I'll read like a little, you know, passage where I'm like, that's not the way it really happened. Like, it's just weird how you really trick yourself into thinking that's the way things went down. But now, hindsight, you know, 50-50, 2020, 2020, 50-50.
That's the scary thing. I mean, I know when I wrote my book and then I went back and reread it and redid some things because I didn't like it. And, you know, the person that helped me write it was like, you were such an angry person when you wrote this. And now you're not that angry. So
yeah.
Now
it's just, you want it. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with me. And I was like all butt hurt over bad relationships. So I like, you know, I was like, well, this one did this. Man, I'm like, if I would have waited 10 years, like, there's no way I would have, you know, like really shit on those relationships.
That's why I haven't written a book yet. And if I did,
it's not right. You know who told me when I was writing the book, I was talking to David Geffen. And the first thing he said to me is like, don't do it. I'm like, what? He goes, don't do it. Don't do it. And he was kind of right. I'm like, you know what? I mean, there's some things that just need to be private.
Some things, yeah.
Yeah.
The good thing about writing a book for me was that it really gave me stock in my life. It's like, you know, you take all these index cards and you write, you know, 1968, I was 1 year old, what is going on? It was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
So if anything, you know, I grew from that experience and, you know, hopefully when I die, it doesn't get leaked.
And we're going to have to end with this question because it is the best one I have ever heard. What is your go-to Dunkin' Donuts order?
He He's holding. He's got.
No, you're not. You have a Dunkin' Donuts.
Large ice original coffee, 2 mocha swirl, 4 cream. There it is. I actually had to put it in here because I didn't know if you know sponsorships and stuff.
Oh no, like no. Well, now they're going to be knocking on our door, Dunkin'. That's give us awesome. Some sponsorship.
That's awesome that you actually even had it right then and there.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Jonathan, thank you so much for being on the show with us. We love you.
Thank you guys.
I'm so happy to see the man you have become, the life that you're living, your authentic self. You and Harley are the best. I'm going to come visit your farm because you're going to have to teach me how to farm. And yeah, I hope that you're in LA soon or we're on the East Coast to be able to see each other.
Yeah, actually, we'll talk. Yeah.
No matter what nobody says, you're the best out of any of the guys in New Kids. That's my
shit. If anyone asks, that's the truth. That's what I'm saying.
I tell your brother, tell Mac. I don't care. Give them any of those motherfuckers.
How can everyone stay in touch with you, John? Are you on the socials?
Yes, the socials. Crazy. Instagram. Not so much on Twitter anymore, but Jonathan R. Knight.
And Farmhouse Fixer, I'm sure, has a whole setup too.
Yeah.
All right. And go watch the show, HGTV. It is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, so good to see you. Give Harley my love, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Take care, guys.
Bye, y'all. Aw. I mean, what a great guy. I've always loved Jonathan. I mean, obviously, I relate in a very special way.
Yeah, that's one of the things you can definitely relate to him. But I think
what other gay boy band members are there?
Some are probably still hidden.
But, I mean, okay, out gay. Like, there's got to be more than me and Jonathan Knight.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Who?
I don't know.
I know.
Well, 90 degrees, but
I know
nobody,
I mean, there's some British ones
degrees.
For sure.
Yes, there's a
but
few
American
British ones.
Ones.
I'm not sure about American.
Why has
American?
A Backstreet Boy not come out?
Well, we always question AJ.
Oh, AJ. Well,
we question AJ.
He'll be here next week.
Oh, well, we can question him. You can question him then.
Oh, that's a good lead-in. Yeah, AJ McLean's going to be our next guest, so get your questions in.
Oh,
ladies, who do we – how do they – just DM us the questions? So, yeah, just DM us. It's Frosted Tips with Lance. All right, since you're here, might as well do an episode with you, right?
Let's do it,
so
yes.
So let's just go right into it. So I guess you'll be on after AJ next week.
Yay!
Woo! But you can't tell anyone what we talked about.
I won't.
No, it's a secret. We can't tell anyone that you're on the show either. You have to wait until this airs.
Okay.
Okay. All right, guys. We'll see you next week with Mr. AJ McLean. Be good to each other. Don't drink and drive out there. And we'll see you next week on Frosted Tips with Lance.
And not me, because Mike will be back.
Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turzenart.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.
Hey, LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, zatting off.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.